This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The elders at the Central Bible Church in Fort Worth, Texas, asked their longtime lead pastor to resign after he confessed to having a porn addiction. The announcement came, which has since been deleted from the church's website, stated that, well, the pastor was asked to resign as lead pastor due to the ongoing pattern of moral failure that he recently confessed to the elders. Why? What's going on? Is this a one-off, or is this a pattern that is far greater than anyone could ever imagine? The pastor shared for the past number of years he had developed a pornographic addiction that was deeply affecting his marriage and his walk with the Lord. And as the elders listened, they were both shocked and saddened by what they learned. As the elders met together to discuss what the pastor had confessed, they were united in their decision that he had disqualified himself from serving as their lead pastor, since one of the qualifications for elders is to be above reproach. And the pastor, thankfully, was in agreement with their decision. In his letter of resignation to the elders, the pastor admitted to being genuinely broken over the foolish decisions he had made, including not allowing himself to be rightly accountable to each one of them. He said, "I have failed our church and the Lord. I'm truly sorry." That's a story of one man and one church and one pastor. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at this pattern of pornography. And in fact, it is much more of a pattern than you really can possibly acknowledge. It's very interesting because we're so focused on boys in girls' bathrooms and girls in boys' bathrooms, and we think, and rightly so, that something is really wrong with this tendency in our society to justify bringing boys into girls' bathrooms and into girls' locker rooms and girls into boys' bathrooms and boys' locker rooms. That scenario is playing out even in Northern Virginia, Loudoun County Public Schools, where they just suspended two boys in high school for merely saying that they felt uncomfortable because a girl appeared in their locker room. Here's a problem, and it just dawned on me as I was preparing for the program today, and that is, in effect, pornography causes the opposite sex to live in our very minds, the locker room of our minds, and it's hard to get it out. It's almost impossible to get it out of the mind. It's just unbelievable. For too many of our credentialed holders, said Ministry Today magazine, talking about pastors, they've had to relinquish their posts of ministry as a result of being caught using the internet to view pornography. A quote from a 1998 ministry letter sent out by the headquarters of a major Pentecostal denomination. That was in 1998, friends. Shocking. But not to those who have been ministering to the growing problem of pornography in pastoral studies and homes. Easy internet access to pornographic and pornographic websites has been the most devastating contributor to sexual addiction since among the clergy since the 1990s. One keyword search and click of a mouse button can fill a pastor's mind and study with phenomenal online resources to enhance his biblical study, but it can also produce triple X-rated images once available only in the back rooms of tawdry bookstores. It's like tar on the brain, one sexually addicted pastor said to his denominational representative. No matter how hard I try to wash myself of it, I could not get it off. Well, we're going to take a deeper look at that here today friends, as we acknowledge also the passing of my dear friend, longtime friend of over 50 years, Dr. James Dobson, advisor to multiple presidents, and also being asked by Ronald Reagan to head up a pornography commission because of the horrible nature of what was happening in our society. Dr. James C. Dobson died yesterday at the age of 89. A tireless advocate for the traditional family, a psychologist, New York Times best-selling author, a Radio Hall of Fame broadcaster, and advisor to five U.S. presidents, Dr. Dobson dedicated his life to strengthening marriages, guiding parents, and even defending biblical values by championing the central role of the family in America. A pioneer, a man of deep conviction whose voice shaped the way generations view faith, family, and culture. He played multiple key roles in presidential commissions, serving in positions to which he was appointed by Presidents Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. Instrumental in shaping national conversations around pornography, gambling, teen pregnancy prevention, and the sanctity of life. Gone, survived by his wife Shirley and their marriage of 64 years. A dear friend, former Sunday school teacher for my wife and I. When I first ran for the state legislature in California in 1975-76, I left the Sunday school class and Dr. James Dobson came before he had ever started Focus on the Family, put his arm around my shoulder and said, "Chuck, just don't forget your family." When we formed Save America Ministries, he was the first one to write a check for $300 in support of Save America Ministries, the background of this broadcast that we launched. It was about 15 years ago, Dr. James Dobson joined me on my radio program from the floor of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, wearing one of his traditional sweaters at that time. He said to me on this program, "Chuck, we have lost the culture wars." This was the man who was supposedly the head, the lead force, the great encourager and coach of the culture wars. And he said, from the floor of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, "We have lost the culture wars." And that was at least 15 years ago. Dr. James Dobson, passing from the scene now. When I last spoke with he and his wife, Shirley, several months ago, in fact, it was April, as I recall, she said, "Chuck, please pray for us." They were suffering at that time. Things were not going well, and he just passed at 89 years of age. We'll miss Dr. James Dobson, whose first book, dealing with the strong-willed child and also Dare to Discipline, were written primarily for his son and my daughter, who dated when they were 16, both of them strong-willed children, and still are, quite frankly, and love them very much. We'll be right back after this to look further, though, into the depths of this pornographic problem that is sweeping our country and the church.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
It was George Barna of the Barna Research Group that said 9 years ago, the pornification of popular culture means younger generations are coming of age in a hypersexualized cultural ecosystem. They, in turn, tend to be more open to sexual experimentation and self-expression, leading to further social acceptance of sexually explicit content. One cannot help but wonder where this self-perpetuating feedback loop will end. For a landmark study commissioned by Josh McDowell Ministry, the Barna Group interviewed American teens, young adults, and older adults about their views on and use of pornography 9 years ago. Researchers discovered that teens and young adults have more cavalier attitude toward porn than adults 25 and older. Young adults ages 18 to 24 seek out and view porn more often than any other generation. And that was 9 years ago. Now, many of them have become pastors. It was approximately 20 years ago that H.B. London, the head of pastoral minis for Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson's ministry, joined me here on this program to talk about pastors. He said, Chuck, it is such a painful thing to have to admit that the number one call that we have in this area of Focus on the Family, pastoral ministries, is the problem with pornography. Pastors calling concerning their problem with pornography. Denominational heads calling with regard to the overwhelming presence of pornography among pastors. It has been widely said and accepted that somewhere around 70% of professing Christian men engage in pornography in some way. It has also been widely accepted by those who are in that realm that somewhere around 30 to 34% of America's pastors admit to being involved in pornography. That's those who admit it. It's also been said that somewhere around 30 to 34% of Christian women purposely seek out and access pornography. Whether it happens to come in the form of a women's form of pornography in some of the books that they read, or other forms of pornography, this seems to be something that has gripped our entire society. Nearly one in three visitors, according to the pastor's weekly briefing coming from Focus on the Family and the H.B. London Pastoral Ministries, Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson's ministry there. This came in 2003. Nearly one in three visitors to online porn sites is female. Nielsen ratings at that time said 9.4 million American women access such sites in 1 month alone. And that information conducted by Today's Christian Woman, in which 34% of respondents claimed that they had intentionally sought out virtual smut, and the picture starts to look pretty bleak. That, my friends, was 22 years ago. Where is all this leading? How should we understand it? And just as I speak today, I well understand that it's very likely, very possible, probably more likely than not, that many of those who are listening to today's program have the problem of pornography, that it lives inside the locker room of their mind. And as the one pastor said, it's like tar on my mind, and no matter what I do, I can't wash it out. So I'd like to share with you the only experience that I had with this, and it goes back to junior high school. All the way back in 1957, you know, the year that Sputnik was launched. It was the greatest year, one of the greatest years of my life, the eighth grade. But it was also one of the worst in one sense. And that was the first time I had ever seen anything like pornography. And it happened not in the gym or the locker room. It happened in the shop. And I do think we should still have shop classes. They should reinstall them for boys. They should reinstall homemaking classes for girls. I do believe that. On the other hand, it was in that shop class that a couple of guys who were on the edge of society, shall we say, they were the renegades, were passing around some sort of a comic book kind of a thing that was pornographic. I still remember one of those images. I have a pretty good memory. Sometimes it seems like my memory is waning, much to my chagrin. On the other hand, I have a pretty good memory, and to remember back in 1957, this one image. And what do I do to cleanse my mind from that one image? I remember not too long after that, I was riding my bicycle across an open field on the way to a small neighborhood grocery store. And strewn across the field was a torn up magazine. And so I wonder, what is this? So I got off my bicycle and took a look, and here it was, a pornographic magazine, not in comic form, but this was real images. Now, I don't remember any of those specific images perfectly, but I do remember in general what they were like. And it's a memory that still exists because my memory is my memory. You see, my memory is the locker room of my mind. And you cannot pray away that which is in your mind. Now, God says that I will not hold your sin against you. Now, for me, that was not sin. It was just a casual exposure. I wasn't intentionally trying to seek anything out, nor trying to prevail upon it and gather it together for my ongoing viewing pleasure. But it was something I was exposed to. God says that when we are willing to repent of our sin, confess it before him, that he will cleanse us from all of our sin. But he doesn't cleanse our memory. He says, I will not remember your sins against you anymore. What does he mean by that? It's not that God can't remember. God can't forget. He's God. If you can't forget, then God can't forget either. It's that he won't hold your sin against you anymore. So this matter of pornography is something that is so unbelievably, what medical term could we possibly use to describe it? Like viral? Is it something, is it a virus, like a virus that you can't possibly get rid of? Is it like spiritual AIDS? What is it like? But it endures. It endures in the mind. It endures in the memory. And any man knows that what I'm saying is true. And so do you ladies. And it lives in your mind. And you try to shake it, but the images keep coming back and the memory keeps coming back. So what do we do? What do we do? How do you deal with this issue of porn? And when a pastor is intentionally engaging in this on an ongoing basis without a willingness to at least run from it and to be cleansed from it, not from the memory. You can't clean out the memory. That's the locker room of your heart. You may be able to clean out your locker in a gym somewhere, but you can't clean out the locker room of your mind because those memories exist. God created us with memories, and that's why we're not supposed to expose ourselves to things that are ungodly. We're to flee from them. Flee from temptation. Paul admonished his ministry sidekick, Timothy, as a young man. Flee from temptation. Don't play footsie with it. Flee from it. Run from it. Like Joseph did, running from the temptation of Potiphar's wife there that tried to seduce him day after day after day, and finally he fled and unfortunately left his cloak there as he fled, but he fled from the temptation. He didn't play footsie with it. He didn't say, let me check this out. He didn't say, it's not one little shock thing isn't going to hurt that much. No, he didn't reason with it. He didn't play footsie. He ran for his life. In reading the book of Proverbs, the Bible is very explicit. It's almost like an R-rated book because so many times it says, don't be seduced by this woman that flatters her eyelids at you and says such sweet nothings to you. Well, men are not looking for that now out on the street. They're looking for it on the internet, in their offices, in their cars. The very thing that God warned about over and over and over again in the book of Proverbs. So God is not without his warnings. The problem is that we were without our willingness to submit and follow his warnings. And now we feel trapped. Many feel trapped. I don't personally feel trapped, but I do have those brief memories of long ago. It's not like a trap. It's just that it's there. It's parenthetical. I know that it was there, but I don't live in it. Question. My dear Christian man or woman, do you live in pornographic memories? Has that become of your life become a major, a significant part of your life space? How are you dealing with it? Are you running from it? Or are you giving honor to it? Are you extending hospitality to it in your mind, in your memory? Well, it can't hurt just to remember it. Yes, it can. It's infecting. It's like a systemic infection. It's like a staph infection in your mind and in your heart. And you don't want to play around with staph infections. They can kill you. And unfortunately, that's what's happening, not just in our culture, but in the church. Everywhere. Flee from temptation. Run from it. Your life is at stake. Teach your kids. Be serious about it. Don't just give some bland situation, it's not that bad. Every young guy gets involved. No. You have to be very explicit. Let your conversation be with your kids now, like the book of Proverbs. God's book of Proverbs of wisdom is to men and women. Guard your eyes. Guard your ears. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We used to sing a song when I was a kid. Watch your eyes, what they see. Watch your eyes, what they see. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Watch your eyes, what they see. And then again, watch your ears, what they hear. Watch your feet, where they go. How about your thoughts? You see, a simple childhood song, and it could be one that you can use with your young kids. If ever there was a time when we need to get more serious about this, it's now. So when Dr. James Dobson interviewed me about 5 years ago concerning my book, Hearts of the Fathers, he knew that I was onto something. And it wasn't a book just about pornography. It was a book about fathers getting serious. You might want to get a copy of the book yourself. $20 will put it in your hands. It's a hardbound book, and it'll bless you.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we're dealing with a very painful subject called pornography and what its effect is on our lives as Christians, as moms, as dads, as young people, and as pastors. You see, pastors put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. And so, pastors also have histories. They also have exposure in their younger years. And so, they also have locker rooms, that is their mind, their locker room of their mind, that contains images that seduced them into an ever-increasing lust for pornography. And the reality is that pornography allows one to engage in fornication and or adultery at the same time, thinking that it's innocent, thinking that it's not sinful, it's just natural. It titillates your sensibilities, so to speak. You see it as entertainment, and so you justify it. No, it's impossible to justify it because Jesus said, you have heard it said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. Oh. So that's what pornography is about. It's about illicit sex. It's about living out a dream world of sex without seeming consequences. You're not producing a baby, and nobody knows about it, or you're hoping nobody knows about it until they find it, of course, on your computer, in your office, or in your home, or they see a reference somewhere, and all of a sudden, that which was hidden comes to light. The sunlight comes in and starts to cleanse the picture. Now what do I do? Well, we opened the program with one pastor who the church elders had to dismiss. They had to dismiss him because they discovered that he had a porn addiction and couldn't seem to deliver himself from it. In other words, he was an addict. Now, you might say, well, addiction is a sickness, isn't it? Well, you might say that it's a sickness, but it's something that takes control of your life. Alcohol does the same thing. But it doesn't live in various images in the locker room of your mind. Pornography is more vicious than that in many respects. It's deadly. It's spiritually deadly. It's relationally deadly. How many marriages have been destroyed because of pornography? Causes you to live in a false world with false expectations of what you should expect with your wife or what you should expect with your husband. And so you're not satisfied. So the lust breeds covetousness. You remember the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, and so on. So you've already broken two of the Ten Commandments. and thou shalt not steal. But pornography allows you to steal someone else's life and live yourself through it. So that's three of the Ten Commandments. And obviously, you can't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So you've broken four of the commandments at the very minimum through pornography. Now, I'm not trying to make people miserable, but trying to help us to understand the reality of what we're dealing with. It's not about being puritanical, but it is about being pure. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. That's what the scripture says. God desires clean hands and a pure heart. A pure heart. Now, a pure heart is going to run as fast as possible from pornography. Going to run as fast as possible from anything that would lure you to engage even for a moment, because that's how it works. Those images work instantly. Like the image I saw back in 1957 in a boy's shop class through a little comic book. It was an instant image, and I remember pretty much what it looked like. Now, all of these years later, now, the eighth grade was one of the most important years of my life, academically and in so many, many different ways. It set a foundation for so many things in my life. But that's the one negative thing that I remember. Our minds are meant to remember things, friends. That's what they do. And the interesting thing is that as you grow older, the memories you're more prone to forget are not the memories of the past, but the memories, the short-term memories, which means that pornographic images are likely to more likely remain in the locker room of your mind and memory. So we've got to flee from fornication. We have to flee from adultery. We have to flee from the lust of the eyes. We have to, like Job did, make a covenant with our eyes. So what do we do? How do we do this when we're on the internet? I have to be on the internet every day. I have a certain ritual that I go through in preparation for this program. And the way they frame the internet, they have all these sidebars, and they have all kinds of little things that, well, they look interesting. They're designed to cause your interest to be drawn away and to click on this, click on that. What harm could there be? Well, one harm that could be is it could lead you into an invasion of your computer. But how about the invasion of your mind? Because many of them are designed to lure you into, if not instantly, lure you gradually into the sex world, into pornography, into illicit images, and through that, to gain more and more and more interest until you have actually addicted yourself. You become dependent. Your mind gives you such reward for seeing those images that now you seek it evermore. Like the person that gets involved in alcohol and they just get started and they're just going to drink a couple of wine or a glass of wine. And then gradually they say, well, there wasn't much harm in that. And so they drink a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more frequently. And then they end up in mixed drinks. And it's pretty soon, without realizing it, they're addicted and they can't even admit it. They can't admit it. Well, it can't be that bad. Everybody's doing it. So our young people today have a wine culture. The whole culture has turned to wine. You can't go on any program on television today that deals with life at all, even on so-called Christian programs, even the most wholesome of them. And here comes the wine. Why? You say, well, the Bible doesn't say that wine is illegal, or it doesn't say that it's sinful. And if it's, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. But it does warn you about what happens. People get caught up in it. And it leads you and gradually leads you into a world that you would never believe would have been your world. Just saying. Taking a sip of coffee just to allow this to sink in just a little bit. 9 years ago, Time Magazine, not known for its spirituality, the cover story, porn. That's the cover story. The word porn, the letters in white with the word O, the letter O in red with an X through it. Why young men who grew up with internet porn are becoming advocates of turning it off. Oh, advocates of turning it off. In other words, they can't get rid of it. So they're becoming advocates of turning it off. Well, here is what Time Magazine 9 years ago had to say. Who's watching? Adult entertainment in the U.S. As popular as it is controversial. At that time, they said 46% of men and 16% of women intentionally viewed pornography in any given week. Those numbers are way up now. Double that. Almost double that. 11 to 13, average age of first porn viewing by boys. That's exactly what I was telling you when I was in junior high at the age of 13. 12 million hours a day at that time spent viewing porn globally on the adult video site Pornhub. Just on one site. 20% of men, 35% of women at that time believed that pornography should be illegal for everyone. Well, that's what Dr. James Dodson was trying to say, because when he was asked by the President of the United States to become part of the Porn Commission, and I lamented many times that he would be part of that, because then it would require him to view some of those images, which he would never be able to shake. That really bothered me. I could not be on a porn commission if it required me to view. I would not do it, because I would never be able to clean out the locker room of my mind, and neither would you. We're not finished yet, friends. I hope you'll stay tuned. This is Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
There are at least 12 pastors that have been removed from their ministries, their congregations, some of the largest congregations on the planet, with worldwide ministries on the radio and television, 12 of them have been removed from ministry because of sexual problems that have come to light. I'm not here to mention their names. You may know some of their names. That's not the point. They've been removed. The ramifications, the echoing ramifications, are vast. I read about them periodically as they come across the web through certain Christian sites and so on that enable me to understand, at least to a certain extent, what's going on. And today, a 46-year-old pastor has resigned as the senior pastor of Redemption Church. Why? Because he was just arrested for luring a child online for a sex act. He admitted it. He's been involved with church planting and pastoral ministry for nearly three decades. Listed as the co-founder and vice president of Global Church Planting Partners. Taught at several seminaries across the U.S. Has a master's degree and a Ph.D. in missiology. But was among eight men arrested for luring a child with a computer for a sex act. Where did that come from? Undoubtedly from pornography, friends. And that's just today. That's the only one we know of today. I asked our famous Google research program that always tells us it's AI. So here's what AI said in response to my inquiry about pastors and religious leaders on charges related to child pornography or sexual abuse. A former Pineville, Missouri assistant pastor sentenced to 25 years in federal prison for producing child pornography. A Long Island, New York pastor charged with sexual exploitation of children, coercion and enticement of children, distributing of child pornography, and possession of child pornography. A Texas pastor arrested on child pornography charges. A Florida pastor charged with possession of child pornography. Another New York pastor arrested and accused of receiving images from a minor and engaging sexually explicit text communications. A North Carolina pastor charged with authorities found child pornography on his devices, including material he created using AI. A Delaware children's pastor arrested and charged with 10 felony counts of dealing in child pornography. A South Dakota pastor arrested and charged with possessing child pornography. A Pennsylvania pastor charged with multiple child exploitation offenses. A Florida pastor arrested on child pornography charges after purchasing images online with cryptocurrency. A youth pastor in Maryland arrested and accused of sexually abusing six teens between 2006 and 2010. A former Oklahoma pastor arrested for the fourth time after violating his bond conditions related to child sex crimes charges. And on it goes, friends. A Virginia Christian school teacher arrested on child sex crime charges. A former Texas mega church pastor indicted on child sexual abuse charges dating back to the 1980s. It's enough to cause a grown man to weep, isn't it? And these are the men, and sometimes women, that we have put ourselves under their authority and have put our children under their care and authority with full trust and confidence they were walking in holiness, only to discover they were just like you. Just like 70% of the Christian men out there that are involved in pornography. Just like 34% of the Christian women out there that were intentionally seeking smutty images or pornography. Just like us. Now you can see what was meant in the political realm when they say, we get the leaders that we deserve. In other words, we get people that are just like us. And that is not pretty. It's not pretty to us because we now look at ourselves in the mirror, right? We're guilty of sin. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, Lord God, what have we done? Or maybe we're so far gone that we don't even say that anymore. And like the drunk says, I'm not a drunkard. I can control it. Well, if you can control it, then why do you keep watching it? You see, the reality is this is coming home. And it's one thing for my friend Dr. James Dobson to be part of a porn commission decades ago. It's another thing to do something about it where it's really taking place, and that's in God's own house. And that's what not that commission was supposed to do. This is a systemic staph infection, spiritual staph infection, that has swept through the church in America. Evangelical churches, charismatic churches, word faith churches, mainline churches, evangelical church, whatever denomination name they go by, it's everywhere. One day, years ago, a dear brother who admitted he was addicted to pornography gave me his laptop computer and he said, please keep this for me. I can't have this in my possession because if I do, I will succumb. I don't remember how long I held that, and I certainly didn't open it. Would not want to contaminate my mind with whatever he found there. And I don't know where he stands now after he regained the computer. It was only so long that I could hold it. So what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Ralph Earle, president of Psychological Counseling Services located in Scottsdale, Arizona, back in 1999, said the consensus from other Christian therapists at that time from around the country is that the entire area of addictions, including sexual addictions, is at least as much a problem within clergy families as in non-clergy families. How could men of such high moral authority, pastors, be given to such a vulgar indulgence? The answer simply is that sex is in the air. Pastors who let their spiritual guards down by rejecting the Bible's wisdom, staying aloof to the lust of the eyes, the flesh, the boastful pride of life, are not immune. It's true. American homes today have been keenly cultivated to practice extramarital safe sex. Statistics prove there's no such thing as safe sex. But that's what we've convinced ourselves. Before the internet, you had to go to an X-rated movie theater or somewhere in a back room of a bookstore somewhere. But now, the article says we get countless calls from pastors and pastors' wives from every part of the country who all of a sudden have found themselves hooked on a computer porn. That came from James Dobson's cousin, H.B. London, Vice President of Ministry Outreach, who joined us on this program about 15 years ago to admit just that. He said it's the number one problem we deal with. We got to get it out in the open. This one counselor said, I have counseled with as many as 40 sexually addicted pastors at one time. But it keeps happening over and over because it's not coming out in the open. not coming out in the open. So, what do? We related the problem. What do? The first thing you do is don't expose yourself in the first place. Don't click on something that even has the hint that it might lead you astray. If it's not leading you where you were intending to go for something legitimate, don't go there. You can't afford it. You can't afford it, friends. It's costly. It could cost you your eternal destiny. Destroy all pornography, photographs, videos, movies, drawings, even written materials. Cancel MTV or whatever it is. Nothing should be left. Stop associating with people who indulge in pornography. Refrain from visiting places that display, portray, or promote pornography in any way, including the movie theater, my friend. That's not a Christian right. Saturate your mind with God's word. Begin a consistent, lengthy Bible reading and meditation time by feeding your spirit to quiet down your flesh. And become a part of an accountability group. Secret places are fertile ground for addictions. I'm having a hard time holding the tears back, friends, because this is such a terrifying problem. From Newsweek is this list, a full list of Texas pastors charged with abusing children just this year. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And that's just in Texas. How about where you live? You see, this is a problem that pervades everything. It's almost like the air we breathe. We sing a song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. We sing it. Sometimes we sing it from the heart. It's a beautiful song. A beautiful song. Lord, prepare me. You know what? Part of the Lord's preparing you is you preparing yourself. We cannot depend on the Lord keeping us from pornography. You have a choice. I have a choice. We must do what we must do. God will assist us by his grace, which is not his willingness to overlook or wink at our sin, but to enable us to obey his voice and be an overcomer. Are you an overcomer? Are you? Today, I know that there are many whose hearts are troubled, convicted, and rightly so. That's a good thing. But if we will heed the voice of the loving conviction, we will be delivered. If we reject it, we will be condemned. We give place to the devil, and he will haunt you until death do you part. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friends. Get a copy of the book, Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. $20 will put the hardbound book in your hands on the website, saveus.org. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. And support this ministry. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final answer.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.